Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Thank you. Okay, so tonight we are joined by Betsy Murphy. Betsy is an author, humanitarian, and veteran filmmaker of several acclaimed feature documentaries. She founded Figaro Films to produce important films which inspire, enlighten, entertain, and educate. Betsy created the platform Beautiful Infinity Books, a publishing collective in 2017. BIB offers workshops and retreats to incubate and develop the work of creators. Born and raised in Indiana, Betsy began her career as a producer and writer of commercials and nonfiction programming after obtaining a BFA in broadcast journalism from Southern Methodist University. Betsy is a writer, performer, mother, grandmother, and guide for women to retrieve the hidden parts of our stories. She speaks about the things we don't want to talk about, but does it in a way that makes you comfortable being in the conversation. What part of yourself are you ready to remember and reclaim? Betsy, take it away.
Yay! Thank you everyone for being here. I have told all of my friends that I am presenting tomorrow night on the 15th. So apologies to everybody that I got the day wrong, but everybody that's here, thank you for gathering. And for anybody that's tuning in and watching this later, just imagine that you are here with us. I want everyone to make sure you have something to write with. We are going to be doing writing prompts. I want to tell you a little bit more about myself before we start. Probably 10 years ago, started quietly doing work around healing my body after a lifetime of like not feeling good in my body. And I was quietly doing research and including around my orgasm, but I was not telling anybody about it. And I kept going to writing workshops, and the people in the workshops would go, "Oh, well, you know, that's an interesting story." I was writing about my life between US and Africa, and I thought, this is such a good story, this is my book. But I'd write one thing about my sensual path, and people would go, like, "We want to know more about that." And I was like, I could never tell the truth about my sensual path. And there was this moment of this zing in my body, and I was like, oh, that's the story I need to tell. So in gathering with writers all over the world prior to COVID in workshops and retreats, I usually can zero in on, there's one line in everybody's story, and then, you know, then we blow that up, and it's usually something that they can't talk about. And often it has to do with family, these two things that we don't want to share. But for the first round and for tonight, we are going to be doing writing prompts. If you want to share, I would strongly encourage you to share, but knowing that this is going to be, you know, people are going to have access for this, you know, forever. So if you don't want to share, I understand. But one thing that happened with me is the when I wrote this book, Autobiography of an Orgasm, and it was about healing my body, and then turned it into a solo show. And the first time I did an excerpt from the show, I chose my saddest story in the book. And this was in Byron Bay, Australia, and it was a group of women. We were doing something called the Vagina Conversations, and it was supposed to be like the next evolution of vagina monologues. And so I got up on stage and told my saddest story, and you could, you know, it was about me healing, but everybody kind of, you could see them moving back in their seat and not listening. And then the next person that got up, Mandy Nolan, who was telling almost the exact same story as me, but she told it with humor. She told it from a place of connection. And so since those days, I've learned a lot about how to tell a story. So you don't have to, you know, go into all of the heavy detail parts, and we're going to be experimenting with that tonight, whenever you're watching this. And also, if you're concerned about writing about family, just for tonight, you're not writing your family story. You're writing about your place in the family. And that is an important story. So if family comes up tonight, then just know you're just writing your place in the family's story. The other thing I will say is when Autobiography of an Orgasm came out, two things happened. I had so many people write to me and tell me their stories that I ended up calling for people to send me their stories, and I published three more editions of it, Autobiographies of Our Orgasms, Men and Women Telling the Truth About Their Central Past. This is pre-Me Too movement. All of these were published before 2017, October through 2017, when people started speaking up. And what I will say, what we accomplished with these books and the way we told our stories was we took responsibility for not what happened to us, but for our healing. And when people, especially with Me Too, come out, and it's very important to get your anger out and get that out. But people are not going to connect to your anger. So it's a choice of how you tell your story. And so we're going to be experimenting tonight. So what I'd love to do is you've all introduced yourself and where you are, most of you have. I would love for you to type in the chat box just to get used to writing your name and what you wanted to be when you were 8 years old. Your name and what you wanted to be when you were 8 years old. If you feel like putting it in the chat box, just so we can start connecting with each other. When I was 8, I actually wanted to be a writer and a publisher, and I had a neighborhood newspaper that I published with a printing press, and I charged people 10 cents. And oh, Kathy, that's interesting. Psychic, actress, gymnast, singer. So it's interesting, wherever you are in life, on my retreats, I find that if people aren't feeling good, hi Autumn or Orion in Indianapolis. If you're not doing loving what's going on in your life, you know, tap into that 8-year-old and what they wanted to be doing. And this is also the first story that you can write, be inspired to write, I hope, after this workshop, is tell about what you wanted to be when you were 8, and then go more into that story. The next thing I want to say is it's like, why write our stories? Why write the stories that are hard to tell? Well, we're living in a world right now where, you know, people are speaking up from this place of anger, and everybody, instead of connecting, is just attacking back. So as leaders, as storytellers, can we get the message that we want across, but do it from a place of, this is my story, and this is where it connects to your story? For instance, my next book that's coming out in December is called Chasing Temples. And this past weekend I was in did the solo show of it. And the book is about me going all over the world after my divorce, trying to figure out, trying to find myself, because I really blamed myself for, or thought I was the problem. I lived in a world that thought I was the problem. I even signed a non-disclosure clause in my divorce that said I couldn't say I was ever married or had children with this person. And at the time I was like, who cares? Like, not a big deal. Well, for me, for someone who has this theme of not using my voice, staying silent, and then all of a sudden 20 years later wanting to tell my story out loud and not wanting to tell it from the point of view of, you know, this person was so awful to me. It was from the point of view of, I am so curious of why I've stayed silent. And so I went back, you know, through generations of women in my family that stayed silent. So I needed to help me make sense of my life and also, you know, begin to show up as a mother and grandmother that, you know, encourages my daughters to speak up and granddaughters, and also has raised sons that will listen. So what we're going to do first is just to do these first prompts are, it's just like 1 minute prompts, and you're just going to be making a list. And if you were lucky enough to watch Laura Day early, she did her workshop earlier today. And with these writing prompts, it's very much of getting out of your head and trusting what spirit wants to come through, what your intuition wants to come through. So you're just putting your pen to your paper and writing. You're not thinking it, you're putting your pen to paper and writing. So just seeing what wants to come through. So the first prompt is, tell about a big win. Tell about a big win. So this might come out as a list. This might come out as, you know, the first lines of a story. And don't think it, just start writing. And if you can't think of anything, then that's your first line. I can't think of a time there was a big win. Because blah, 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 blah. Oftentimes with our prompts, it may have nothing to do, the story that comes out may have nothing to do with the prompt.
Betsy, can you explain, what are you saying when someone asks, are you saying when or when?
W-I-N. And once again, this can be a metaphor. It doesn't have to be, this is a race I won. It can be a metaphor for something in your life. So now we're going to move on. A new one. Tell about a big loss. Tell about a big loss. So Colleen, that's a good place to start. Once again, our stories may have nothing to do with the prompt.
And I'll just remind everyone while we're prompting here, if you can put in the chat to all panelists and attendees, if we reference the chat, that means everyone, attendees and panelists, everyone in the main room can see it. So when you chat, all panelists and attendees would be helpful.
Okay, so now the last prompt is tell about a big recovery. Tell about a big recovery. Okay, so just stopping where you are. Would anybody like to read all three lists? Anybody volunteer if you would put your name in the chat box? Okay, Kathy Wickstrand, go ahead and unmute yourself. Thank you very much for reading. Hi, Kathy.
Okay, I'll be brave. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement, Sarah. All right, big wins. Going to the Pan American Games in 1975, getting sober, marrying someone I love and I like after kissing a lot of frogs for many, many years, quitting being a swim coach after 25 years, and then having my ideal job.
We didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Where did I stop off?
Quitting being a swim coach.
Okay. Quitting being a swim coach. Having my ideal job in the very same profession that I love, that I left today. So those were my wins.
Awesome. Okay. Big loss. Okay.
My losses, my entire family dying, both my sisters killing themselves, my childhood best friend killing herself, not making the 76 Olympic team, my best friend in high school dying, who was my like guy I dated forever. So that's all I got.
How about big recoveries?
My big recoveries are being 30 years sober. So that's a big deal in recovery. The part of the yin yang, the male female, like my male self unthawing and birthing into the fabulous woman that I am today, and my recovery from people pleasing.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you for going first. And I actually, in my writing workshops and retreats, I actually do not let people respond. We don't clap. Just because I want people to share without needing validation. It's enough to hear yourself say those words. Usually this time of the year, I'm in Bali doing a writing retreat. And by like the fifth day of our retreat, since they couldn't clap, they would get slushies and they would suck their slushies. So it made a loud noise as a way to cheer. But I really want us to get used to speaking up and just, you know, using our voice. Would one more person be willing to share? And thanks for the people that are sharing on the chat. Okay.
Ryan, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but Orion, you would like to share. I'm going to promote you to panelist, if that's okay with you, Betsy.
Yes.
Great. Come on in. And when you get here, Orion, go ahead and feel free to unmute yourself.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I learned another language and teleported myself to another continent. I died in a swarm of killer bees and drowned. I came back, rescued some friends, and they all brushed me away right after. I thought my life was over. I was in a bundle of pain. It took 3 years for me to speak again.
Thank you. And do you want to read any of your other lists?
Well, the first one would be the big win. I learned another language and teleported myself to another continent.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
The big loss would be to die.
Yeah.
And to come back. And then big recovery was to be able to reintegrate in society.
Great. Thank you for sharing. So with these lists, you already have inspiration for stories that you could write. And as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, the mistake I made when I, you know, read my saddest story, because I thought that would be a way to connect to the audience. People moved away from me. So we can't handle stories where it's every family member died and all of my friends died, and where it's just a story about death and grief. This is true. The incredible thing about Kathy's story that she shared with us is she's dropped in this mention of swimming and being a top Olympic swimmer. So as she's losing, literally sinking in one area of her life, she's floating and rising to the top and swimming in another area. So the contrast of these stories would be, and using swimming and your accomplishments there as would be a great way to look at writing about grief. And the other thing about sharing, and why I really appreciate y'all sharing, is you start to hear in other people's stories and shares of like, oh, that reminds me of something. So just write these things down, and there'll always be stories there. The one thing with writing and these prompts, I always say just write for 15 minutes. We're writing much quicker tonight. But when I give you a prompt, like we did at the beginning, tell about what you wanted to be when you're 8 years old, literally set the clock for 15 minutes and be done. And at the end of 15 minutes, your story might not be about what you wanted to be when you were 8 years old. It might have taken you somewhere else of, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I was 8, but I heard a story about my great grandmother who was a fortune teller, and the family dismissed her. And so just follow your, just follow your intuition. These have worked so well that I ended up turning it into a book called Write On, and it's 365 days of writing prompts, and it's just 15 minute prompts a day. And from these prompts, I've had people develop scenes for solo shows, for their books. It's something that came to me because I love The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron's book. And she does morning pages, which you write for 3 pages and you just kind of vomit on the page. And then you're never to read them again. And that's fine, but we don't want to read those, when you vomit on the page. But what we need to do is be able to be storytellers and use our words to connect. Because more than ever, we, whether you are in a business and promoting yourself, or you're a writer, or you're doing spoken word, how can we use our words to connect and to heal right now? And so the next prompt we're going to go into is moving into this theme of using water to water our words and amplify our stories. I want you to think about a body of water somewhere in your life that you love. It might be the ocean, a lake, a swimming pool. Just think about a body of water and describe the taste of water. Describe the taste of water. So these are going to be quicker lists again. Okay, describe the smell of water. Describe how water feels on your body. or touch or feel of water. What does water sound like? I'm loving the chats. And then finally, what does this water look like? Okay, so hanging on to these senses, we're just going to move on to another writing prompt. Tell about a moment you were sinking. Tell about a moment you were sinking. And once again, this can be literal, it can be a metaphor. It might not bring anything up, so you just go into what's next. I can't think of a moment I was sinking. But right now I'm thinking I can't, you know, I don't know what to say, and just keep following your whatever comes up. Okay, so wherever you are, just ... And for the next prompt that I give you, we're going to write a little bit longer. I know these are shorter prompts. And I hope that the senses that you already listed, so this is a really good thing to do if you're writing about a certain subject and you know what it is. Go ahead and make a list of the senses that are, if you're writing about sex, go ahead and make a list of those senses so you have them right there to access as you're writing. Senses are the things that bring your words to life for the reader so that we can, so that you're showing what's going on instead of just telling. So the writing prompt that we're going to do is tell about learning to swim. Tell about learning to swim. Start with that prompt and see where it takes you. Trusting yourself.
Betsy, would you like me to read some of these out loud for the folks with the recording, or no?
I'm going to let people keep writing in silence, and then we will, people will volunteer to read, and then we can also read some of the others, but I want people to write in silence. Thanks, Sarah. So two more minutes, and you may not get to an end of your story, but just see where your intuition takes you these last 2 minutes. Okay, as you're finishing your last few sentences, I'm without reading the names in our chat, just for your own privacy. I love that one of the people here said she just had her second swim lesson of her life an hour ago, and it was very empowering. Another person said, I am a mermaid that has to plug her nose while underwater, but I kick well. That's a great opening line of a story, save that. So wherever you are with your story, just dot, dot, dot. And I'm going to ask people to volunteer to read again. And one thing I say in my writing circles, because people will say, well, this isn't very good, especially women, or, you know, my grammar's not right, or I got lost in the middle, or this isn't very good. Like, they want to discount their writing. Like, we all know we've only written for 4.5 minutes. So if you want to discredit your writing straight away, as you introduce your story, just say, get a load of this, and then start reading. And I actually would love to invite Kathy Wickstrand, who shared, if you would like to read first, I would love for you to read, if you want to. Only okay. Because she shared with us she was a swimmer, and I'm curious as to where the story went.
Okay, well, first of all, I just have to tell you guys, I have not spoken to Betsy in how many years, Betsy?
14. Yeah, she was, you know, a couple years older than me in, as a swimmer. She was like the swimmer I worshipped and wanted to be like. So I didn't even know she was going to be on this call tonight. So it's interesting. So anyway, so yeah, 40 years. So
it's weird. Yeah. So we're both from Indianapolis, and yeah, so, okay. So I just wrote, ha, 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 ha. That was my first line. I came out of the womb knowing how to swim. Swimming was my most favorite place in the whole wide world in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Riviera Club. I took lessons and loved every minute of every day playing. I blew through stations 1 through 10, and she'll know what that means. and then got invited to swim on the novice team at age 5. I got pushed up with the older kids so quickly, very quickly, and they weren't happy, but my coaches were thrilled. So I won my first race at age 5. My sister was very pissed because I beat her and she was 3 years older. God, I went all over the place. Let's see. I felt like I always knew how to swim every stroke, and God, how I loved my teacher, Margie. She ended up being one of my mom's and dad's closest friends. I am still in touch with her husband, who died, and she died a few years ago. They all played bridge forever, and then I went into this long thing about bridge in the 50s and 60s. So it took me all over the place.
Good, and that's what you see these, any day you do a prompt, it can take you in a different direction. And we'll do Q&A at the end, because I know there's a question about that. But thank you very much for sharing. Anybody else? And if you've already shared, I would love, okay, so Cody, great, if you unmute yourself.
This went in a very different direction than I was expecting. I was paralyzed with fear, unable to move, having vivid flashbacks of almost drowning in front of my dad. Unsure of myself, it was life and death I had to fight to stay alive. Similar to how it felt like walking through the prison, inmates surrounding me, hating me for no other reason than my uniform. It was life and death, and I had to fight to stay alive. Yet today I crave water and floating as a means of self-care. I can't fight and turn it to good.
Thank you. And once again, with each of these stories, like, we're cheering you on inside. And with all of these, we would love to, like, we all want to know more. But thank you. That was incredible, the direction that it went. Anybody else that wants to share? And if you've shared before, I'd be happy to have you share again. Orion, I don't know if you're interested. Yeah, great, Orion. And then Orion and then Karen.
Thank you. He was 30, athletic, a tall guy, always smiling, the son of the police commander of Hyderabad. He bit his lip after admitting that he couldn't join us in the waterfall because he never learned how to swim. I was in disbelief. That was 3 years ago, and his second victory on the way to mastery was to float in the Dead Sea. I promised, he said, I will know how to swim in the coming year. I'm practicing. I taught him the first moves.
Thank you. And once again, with these stories, I'm always like, ah, we need 15 more minutes, and I want to know more of the story. And with these prompts, you know, the idea is we do the 15 minutes, and then if something comes through, you know, finish at 15 minutes. If something comes through, then, you know, go back and work more on it later. But really give yourself that container of 15 minutes, because as writers, there's so much pressure on us to, like, I need to write the story about, you know, something, and you just go blank, and it's so challenging. And these writing prompts, I literally get chapters of my books from the writing prompts. And before I sit down to start writing for my book every day, I do a 15-minute prompt just to, like, it's like stretching, you know, it's like warm up. And usually I get something that I haven't thought about for years and maybe have never shared. So, thank you. So Karen, go ahead and unmute yourself.
My father wanted to throw me in, but she stopped him. Let me take the stairs one at a time into the mysterious emptiness, selfless, generous, smelling like sky. I was slipping into the water like I would slip into a dream. I don't know why I was crying. I didn't want out, but she must have thought I did. Her hands under my armpits, lifting me out, dripping and disappointed. I wanted back in, but she was already sopping me up with a rough blue towel.
Great use of visuals. I mean, we could all follow along and see that, you know, picture. So really great use of the senses. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One more person.
Autumn Saunders just joined us, so I think.
Okay, Autumn. Hi, would you like to share? If you unmute yourself.
Hi, I was talking and I was like, why didn't you get to hear me? Okay. Arms squeezing my sides like little butterfly wings. Let go, she says, let go. My little hands hold tight, gripped around the pink board, my nails digging into the squishiness. Body says no, eyes say no. I'm not ready to let go. Stretch your arms, stretch out your arms. Float. Dot, dot, dot. That's as far as I got.
Darn it, I should have given you more time. Yeah, once again, so engaging, and that story could go any direction. And the swimming scene is something that, you know, we all have experienced, or, you know, we're either, you know, we did experience it, or it's something that we are still afraid of. So it's a great way into a story about something else that you're trying to overcome, an accomplishment. So let's do another writing prompt. This morning I took an incredible dance class, and online, of course, and the one thing she said to us as the class was beginning is to follow where your blood flows, you know, as a way to like be present in this moment. So for a prompt, and this can either come out as a paragraph or just a list of tell about a time you bled. Tell about a time you bled, a time you cut, a time you bled. It can be a metaphor for something else. Okay, I'm going to stop you there because this is leading into a prompt. You know, tonight's theme was about telling stories that heal. And if I'm going to tell a story about a time that I healed, then I want to think about all the times that I didn't heal first. So sometimes I would simply just, you know, do 5 minutes and make a list. And that might call up more of the story that I want to tell. So the prompt that we're going to do is tell about a scar that healed. Tell about a scar that healed. Two more minutes.
30 more seconds. Okay, dot, dot, dot. Would anybody like to read about a scar that healed, wherever that prompt took you? And if you've already read, you're welcome to join. So you can raise your hand or put your name in the chat. Okay, great. I was hoping, Joan, that you would unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the bullying left an open wound flowing through the narrative of my relationships for 30 years until I wrote a new story and forgave with gratitude for the necessary lesson. I can now say, "How dare you?" with full strength.
Thank you. And great use of dialogue too. Anybody else? Orion, great.
A cinder block had left a mark on my skull, a story of betrayal, a pearl that my brother left in my body almost four decades ago. Now he left for Africa, the very country I aimed 26 years ago. Back then, they started to chop each other with machetes. Change of course, I landed in America. 26 years later, I promised to visit Republic of Congo. Here we go.
Oh gosh, all these stories, I'm like, why don't we have more time? This needs to be a 4-hour workshop. And normally the workshops are 90 minutes to, 4 hours, and we really get to immerse ourselves in each other's stories. Anybody else care to share?
And I have Lily coming in from the attendee room.
Okay, Lily, would you like to share?
I would. Thank you.
Yes.
Hold on, I'm getting back to my document. I bled when my finger hit and got caught in the door. I bled more when my lymphedema became wounded, raw, and vulnerable. My benign tumor scar healed. Sometimes I forget which side it is on. It took a while for the skin to soften and unlocked and relax, but it healed and it stayed healed, physically and eventually emotionally and spiritually. My tender scar healed and my finger scar healed, and sometimes I forget which finger it was. Then when I catch it off guard, oh, I skipped back into the fish story, golly, with the water. Once again, I catch it off guard. Its jagged edge, my badge of honor, my award ribbon for life transcended, a challenge coped and circumstances normalized and day-to-dayized, and I move forward.
Thank you, Lily.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Incredible writers on this call. So thank you for everybody that has, if would one more person like to go, if not, I'm going to go to the Q&As before I give you a few last.
Yeah, Laura Perkins joined us in this room.
Okay, Laura. Great. Hi, Laura.
Maybe?
Would you like to read, tell about,
Hello. Sorry, I was muted. I joined late and I just kind of jumped in here. I didn't know I was joining your workshop, but my wound healed imperfectly, ragged and rough, as if sewn together by a blind apprentice. The scar was so protruding, I came to believe it was all people could see of me. I began covering the scar with my behaviors, rebelling, lying, manipulating. And as I became a bit older, I hid it by offering other parts of my body that were not scarred as a diversion of some sort.
Thank you so much. Somebody asked the difference between journaling, using prompts, and storytelling. Journaling is like what, you know, you do with the artist's way of just, you know, dear diary, this is what happened to me. All these people were shitty to me. You know, life is blah, 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 blah. It's just like, you know, it's putting something out that nobody, it's not intended for anybody to read. Writing prompt is actually using a prompt like we've been doing for as a container to tell your, for a certain amount of time. So you can do it as 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I recommend 15 minutes. So you're not trying to get a story out of the prompt. You're not like, I've got to have the story. You're just seeing where your intuition takes you. And then storytelling is actually, you know, creating, using, you know, beginning, a middle, and an end to, you know, tell a story. And we've done things tonight like the senses of ways to, you know, engage readers into our storytelling. Where can you buy Ride On? It's actually available on Amazon right now. I took it off because I'm uploading the, so it's in print, but it'll be available as an ebook probably within the next 48 hours. So you can get it on Amazon. Normally, I also ship for myself. I know many people don't like to use Amazon, but right now with COVID, I'm not shipping. You can also go to your, you know, local bookstore and have them order it for you. It's $22, and for me, I think it's a great investment. I've spent, you know, thousands of dollars going on other people's writing retreats, and I finally realized, like, oh, I just need to sit down. I think retreats are a good thing, but they can also, you don't need to go to a writing retreat with me in Bali or France to, you know, get your story done. With that said, or you can, it is great to have the support of people. And so I do think retreats are valuable as well, as long as you don't just go on retreat after retreat and then you just never get your book out. The last thing I'd like to say is a friend of mine, Seo Long, said that, you know, our body breathes through inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. And our soul breathes through experience, express, experience, express. And for a long time, I literally was not letting my soul breathe because I was holding in all these untold stories of my heart. And it doesn't mean that you have to tell these stories to the whole world, but you might want to get them out on paper. And with these 15-minute prompts, you will be surprised of what comes out. I think I got really burned out on just the daily journaling and the 15-minute prompts. Like, anybody can do anything for 15 minutes. You can write for 15 minutes. And so I highly recommend them, this as just a way to, like, let your soul breathe. I've also found that usually when I start writing a lot of really hard stuff and the sad stuff and the stuff that I don't want to talk about comes out. But I have to write through those stories to get to what my, you know, what I truly want to say. So if, you know, if you have 40 days of stories that come out and like, oh my gosh, nobody's going to want to, you know, hear these, just keep writing and see what's beyond. I mean, that's how I got to, you know, that's how I got through to my books and to my solo shows. And I think I'm most proud of Autobiography of an Orgasm because it was telling the story about my disconnection from my body after assault. And when the book came out and my reclaiming myself through healing, and when the book came out, you know, the reviews were, it was, you know, it's a really funny book. And at first I was like, and it's easy to read. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is, you know, not good. That's easy to read. But what that means is I took the reader on a, you know, on a road trip with me. And I also didn't make it hard for them to read about really
challenging topics.
Betsy, so can you book on your website too?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and I put my, in the chat box, I put my website, which is Betsy B. Murphy. And on my website, I also put my email. But if you go to my website, I answer personally my own emails. So if you're sending me something private, I will answer those emails. And I wish we would have had a lot more time together tonight, but I really appreciate, I hope you got, you have at least 10 prompts now, and I'm gonna leave you with one. I hope you've gotten some stories that you can do. So I'm going to leave you with, actually, it's the first prompt of my book. The Japanese have an art form called kintsugi, which uses gold dust to repair broken pottery. The gold design of the crack becomes part of its beauty and history. Tell about something that broke or cracked.
Lovely.
And the great thing about that prompt is it's going to lead you in the direction eventually of a place that you healed. And that's, those are the stories that we all need right now. We need those stories of connection. We need to know how we can heal both individually and as in our communities. More than ever, we need it.
Thank you so much, Betsy, for this presentation and all the prompts. I do think that this is definitely, more time with you would be so wonderful. I want to hear everyone's stories. So if everyone wants to save the chat, you can read it, you can save it and go back and read the things that people put in the chat later, if you like. Or this was live streamed on the Embodiment Conference Leadership channel. If you go to that group, or it's a Facebook group, if you go to that group, you can add to that. This video will be in that feed. So we can all keep going there if you would like as well. And last pitch for the Embodiment Conference. During the conference, these packages, you can get all the presenters and digest everyone's information at your own pace. Lifelong membership library. That Sarah, the Tech Host, is putting all those links in the chat right now. And Betsy, what is your last top tip for staying embodied? One last tip. You gave us a prompt, but you have one little tip just to keep us in our bodies.
After I write, actually before and after I write, I get up and I dance. I put shuffle on and I dance, especially when we're writing the hard stories. Get it out of your body. I dance and I shake and I get it out. And that's my top tip.
Beautiful. I saw a question. You saved the chat by the little three little dots, and you save it that way. If you're on a phone, you might not be able to save it. But anyway, everyone, the next call an hour from now is Tad Hargreave on Authentic Marketing. He's the Marketing for Hippies guy, so stick around. And Betsy, thank you so much, and we'll see you all later on in the conference. Thank you, everyone.
Can't wait to buy your books and see your TED Talks. Bye.